Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Sarah. When planning our home birth, my husband Matthew and I were really frustrated by the lack of empowering and honest home birth resources. So we created this podcast to start a new conversation for moms and families like us. This is Doing It at Home. Hey everyone, welcome to the Doing It at Home podcast. Today's episode is part two of a little before and after situation that we did with Christy Anderson. So if you haven't heard the first part of the story, I highly recommend pausing, jumping over to episode 29, which you can find either in iTunes or on our website, diahpodcast.com. Listening to the first part so then you can jump in and you'll be up to speed and you'll know where we last left off with Christy, which was she was just days away from giving birth, was waiting for her husband Ryan to arrive back home from Korea where he is serving in the military, and he was literally on the plane coming home as we spoke to her. And so now baby has arrived and we get to hear all about it. I won't give anything away, but let's just say it's an awesome story and you get to hear some of the agonizing anxiety and frustration around waiting for baby to come, especially when you go past your guest date and when people are calling you and texting you, wondering where baby is, and then also even wondering if Ryan would still be there for the birth because he had to go back to Korea and had to leave just a few days later. So you get to hear all of that, the amazing birth story, and Christy is so awesome. Her message is, if you have any feeling or are drawn to home birth in the slightest, do it. Go for it. So she's awesome, and we're so excited to share the rest of her story. Here it is. Hi, Mama.
Hi, Sarah and Matthew. How's it going?
Awesome.
We are fantastic, but we are more interested in hearing how you are.
Oh, we're doing so, so well. Everything's really great. We have a little story to share.
Yes. It was a to be continued last time we spoke.
Yes, we have baby in our lives now, obviously. Hubby, I think where we left off, hubby was on his way home that day when we talked.
That day.
He made it back great. He got here, and I think it was 2 days before my due date. Yeah, he got here on the 16th. I was supposed to, my estimated due date was the 18th. So, as much as we tried not to get that specific date stuck in our head, and we just kept saying, that's an estimation, and we know she could come, weeks before or weeks after, I think we both really let it get in our heads, and we really expected her to come that day. Even though we kept saying, oh, she may not come then, having him here and my mom was in town, I think we both just said, okay, she's going to be here that day. Mm-hmm. And then that day came and went. and that was when things kind of got a little tough, a little dicey. We were already in that limbo period of, okay, just waiting for baby to arrive. And then I had my husband and my mom and all of our friends who I know they meant so well. And I was so gracious that they were checking up on us, but it got to the point where it was like, everybody kept saying, has the baby come yet?
Yep. And the phone's blowing up.
So much pressure, so much like anxiety. I got to the point where I just had to get in the car. I just told my husband, I said, I'm getting in the car and I'm going like for a drive.
Yeah.
I just need to escape this whole thing and like get right with myself and get back on the right mindset of, this baby's going to come when she's ready. Mm. So we got to that point and we went 5 days after, which is not bad, especially for first time mom. I know a lot of women go weeks after, their estimated due. So let's see, it was Monday the 23rd. I actually went into labor. It was about 2:30 that morning.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JMKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JMKSecurity.com.
I hadn't started having contractions yet, but I woke up, just adrenaline rush, wake up at 2:30, and I said, I got to get out of bed and do something. And I thought to myself, okay, you better go do something and then go back to bed, because what if today is the day?
Right.
But I couldn't go back to sleep. So I realized after about an hour being awake that I had lost part of my mucus plug. So I said, okay, today is the day. You need to get your butt back in bed and go back to sleep. but I didn't. I couldn't. Contractions started shortly after that. So about 5 or 6 a.m., I was already starting to have contractions. Got up and made my husband breakfast, and we just kind of lounged around. I called my doula and let her know what was going on. And she said, just, you know, keep her posted. And then I kind of let the midwife know what was going on too. And as the day went on, we just kind of relaxed around the house, and I had some lunch, and contractions got stronger. And about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, my contractions were getting pretty strong, but I guess being a first time mom, I didn't really know. I was timing them, but I wasn't really sure, you know, how painful are these things going to get?
And I can totally relate to that.
Yeah. So at by like 5 o'clock, my doula was like, hey, how are you doing? And I think she and the midwife were probably thinking, well, she's probably experiencing some prodermal labor. You know, things may have backed off since she hasn't really been in touch with us. But I, in my mind, was thinking, oh, things have to get way stronger than this before I call people over to my house, you know? So nobody had showed up at that point, but by 5 o'clock, my doula, we hadn't even spoken on the phone yet, and we were just texting back and forth, and she said, I think I'm going to make my way to your house, because I just kept texting her, you know, things are, like, contractions are getting stronger, but, you know, it's not crazy, not unbearable. And so she made her way here. She got here about 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and by the time she got here, I was not able to talk through contractions. I was pretty far along, I think. And then she said, yeah, I think we need to call the midwife. So there was actually two midwife assistants that came, and she called them, because my midwife is a couple of hours away. So she called them first, and because I was so far along, I couldn't even pick up the phone and call them. And when they got there about an hour later, and they checked me, and I was fully dilated. I was 10 centimeters and, like, ready to go. And, like, I'm sitting here with these contractions just like, okay, they're going to get worse than this. and I'm fully dilated, like, ready to start pushing. So so about 7:30 or 8, maybe closer to 8 or 8:30, I don't know. I started losing track of time at this point. Got into the birth pool after the midwife's assistants got here, and we started pushing, and the birth pool was awesome, by the way. I love the birth pool. That was such a great thing to have. I really thought we were going to get a water birth, but I couldn't get my act together. I guess being a first-time mom, and my midwife had told me this, she said, you know, more power to you for wanting to have a water birth, and I hope it happens, but a lot of first-time moms just don't, they can't feel where to push, you know, when they're in the water. And it was relaxing me so much that I wasn't getting a good productive push when I was pushing. So I was in the birth pool for a good hour, 2 hours maybe, pushing, and things just weren't really moving along. My water had broken, but I wasn't progressing like they wanted me to. So we got out of the birth pool. Then we promptly went to the bathroom. We labored on the toilet a little, mm-hmm. which is not comfortable at all. and didn't get very far there. We labored, squatting. And then by then it was like close to midnight and I had not slept since 2:30 that morning. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
And they were like, you're just going to have to lay down. So they got me in the bed laying on my side. And we ended up delivering in the bed, lying on my side. It was 1:04 in the morning when she was born. Mm. And my lovely midwife did a great job. They did not tell me that baby was face up.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was coming out at a funky angle. Like my husband said, it was like a 45-degree angle. Like, so her head wasn't coming out straight on. Mm-hmm. So her head was kind of turned to the side. So that was making pushing a little bit more difficult, but she came and it was fantastic. We got her out and, I had a little tear, but it wasn't anything crazy. Mm-hmm. And baby was healthy and it just seems like all like a blur, but in the moment it was so much work. It was so much work.
Yeah.
But she came out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They eventually make their way out somehow.
Right. Exactly.
Go ahead. How was the house? What was going on in the house? Like, what was the scene? Were you in your bedroom?
So we were in the bedroom when we delivered her. So I had quite a large birth team. And I think I remember you saying that you had quite a few people at your house too. Mm-hmm. I had my mom, my husband, two midwives assistants, a close friend of mine, and the midwife and my doula. So I had six people present at the birth, and it was just, I kind of remember like little blurs of things at moments, and every time I switched out, they would take me to one room, the whole crowd would follow, and I just remember thinking, okay, I'm coming along.
Whole crew.
Right. And like one person was taking pictures and my mom was just kind of standing there just watching and my husband was trying to be there, but it was kind of like him and my doula, like not battling it out, but like they were both trying to be right there next to me at the same time. So, but it was great. You know, I say it was a lot of people, but I'm so glad I had all of those people there because what I didn't know in the moment was that she was face up, which can, you know, make pushing really difficult. And everybody was like, come on, Christy, you can do this. She's almost there, even though she wasn't really almost there.
Yeah.
You know, they were really encouraging me and I wouldn't have had it any other way to have every one of them there. You know, it wasn't stressful. I didn't feel like too many people. It was just kind of funny in the moment that all these people were just shuffling around from one room to the next and following. But yeah, I wouldn't trade everybody being there for the world. It was great. I really needed that support system.
Right. And then what was it like after Charlotte arrived? You know, I'm assuming she was placed on you, like on your chest, and what happened over the next couple hours?
Well, you know, it was like all of the struggle and all of the, I don't even want to call it pain because, some women might shoot me for saying this, but I would say there was almost no pain afterwards. I didn't feel any pain. I just felt like, I guess the oxytocin and all the hormones and everything. I just felt like, wow, thank God this is over and here's my baby. So they set her on my chest and we just held on to her. We did delay cord clamping. So, we kind of just hung out until the cord stopped pulsating and, they stitched me up and, just me and my husband got to be right there next to her, you know, just talking to her and checking her out, making sure she had all of her fingers and toes. Mm-hmm. And then kind of over the course of the next hour, you know, they hubby got to cut the cord, of course, and delivered the placenta and they checked baby out and pretty routine, run of the mill check up afterwards, but everybody was good. So, it was a really special moment though, just getting to be like, I got to stay in my bed, you know, I didn't have to get up and go anywhere. They didn't take my baby away from me. You know, they did everything right there on the bed where I could see her and I knew what was going on. So, I mean, that was, that was key to me. That was one of the main parts of home birth. You know, the main part, main reason, one of the main reasons why we chose home birth was because of that kind of thing. So,
yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I was watching a show last night where a woman had had a baby, and, you know, just like you see in that traditional hospital sense, baby gets taken to a nursery, and then everyone goes and sees baby for the first time, you know, through the glass with all the other babies in the nursery, you know, in their little porta cribs. And I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, that's right. Like, I forgot that's what it's typically yeah. like. Like, that's how I saw my nephew for the first time, was through a glass, you know, him in the nursery with all the other babies. And like, that's so surreal.
Same here. Absolutely. And so it was just kind of, at the same time, it was kind of like, I almost didn't feel, since that was that's such a norm for me, you know, growing up, that's all I ever knew, was they take your baby and they go to the nursery. I'm just laying in bed, in my bed with my baby, going, oh, this is it. We just get to lay here now, you know, and we get to just kind of do whatever we want. And we got her latched on for a little while and just kind of hung out, and my doula hung out with us, and everybody stayed and made sure that we were comfortable. And it was so relaxing. And then we put the baby in the co-sleeper next to us, and she slept for hours, and we got to rest too. And it was just perfect. Woke up the next day, had breakfast in our house, and couldn't have been more perfect.
Yeah. And how, tell me about Ryan and how it's been for him, you know, what it was like to come home and be with you those last couple of days of pregnancy. And, you know, he had to leave a couple of days after Charlotte was born. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. So, being here for the few days that he got to be here before she came was great. But like I said, it was kind of, I think he was on edge because he knew that he had to leave. He only had 10 days here. Mm. And I think, you know, we went out on a couple of dates, went out to dinner a few times, and we just kind of, I say we were just killing time. We would go out shopping or walk around the mall or something like that. And I just kind of, it was great to spend time with him, but at the same time, it was just like this waiting game. There was this thing in the back of both of our minds going, oh my God, I hope this baby comes before you have to leave.
Right.
It was great that he was here and we got to spend a few days together before baby got here. But at the same time, it was just really a lot of pressure of, you know, wanting to make sure that he didn't waste his time and effort and energy coming, you know, and then the baby doesn't even get here until after he's left. So it was good, but it was kind of bittersweet, I guess.
Right.
I would say. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, I'm so glad she came. Let's see, she came Tuesday morning and he left Saturday morning, the following Saturday. So he got a good few days with her, but that was also really tough too, because when he left, he just kept saying things like, you know, send me pictures every day, send me a picture. And I don't care if it looks like the picture from yesterday, send me all the pictures you can, you know, I don't want to miss anything. And so that was really hard to, you know that he had to go back and he was going to miss, even though it's only a couple of weeks, you know, it was such a special bonding time for him, that he's going to miss out on. So it's kind of bittersweet, but I'm glad he got to spend a few days with his daughter before he left. So,
yeah.
And he was glad to.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Wow.
Tough.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, my eyes are tearing up a little bit. Just, wow. And then do you have an idea of what the projected schedule? I know you said he gets to come in a couple of weeks. You know, is there a more steady rotation now that Charlotte is here that he'll be able to come visit, or what does that look like?
Well, he's actually, we got a return date this morning, actually, we found out, as well. So it's tentative, of course, but mm-hmm. Everything in the military is tentative until it actually happens. Mm-hmm. So he should be coming back next Wednesday, actually, and then they'll be back for good. So, ready. Yeah, we're definitely ready. So, and then he is too. So one more week, mm-hmm. not even a week. So we're definitely ready.
That's a blessing.
It's been really tough, you know, just knowing that. And he's in Korea, so he's with the time difference, you know, when I'm awake at night for feedings, he's awake during the day. And mm-hmm. so we'll text each other, during that time. And I think it's just really tough for him for me to text him and go, the baby screamed all night. She just won't stop screaming, yeah. you know, or she just won't stop eating. And he's been there the best that he can, you know, just saying, hey, you know, keep up the good work. You're doing a great job. I'll be home soon. I can't wait to help you. Mm. So he's done, he's doing the best he can from a distance. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. He's got a lot of diapers waiting on him, I bet.
Absolutely. He's in for it.
And bath time. I think bath time is such a sweet bonding time for baby and dad. I've talked about it before. Yeah. That's what Matthew does. Just because, you know, I get so much time with her nursing that it's like that's mm-hmm. their special bonding time. And it's the most ridiculous, cutest thing ever.
Yes, I think that we will task daddy with bath time because this our baby, she loves bath time. Mm-hmm. I think most babies do, but she loves it. So I think that'll be his thing with her too, definitely. Mm-hmm. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now yeah. that you're on the other side of this experience, what are some of the big takeaways for you through this whole home birth planning process and now going through birth? Like, what were some of the biggest things you've learned?
You can plan and plan and plan and plan, and it's not going to go like you planned it. So it's not going to go like you thought it would in your mind. That's my experience anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think people, even my midwife, tried to delicately tell me that. And I'm just, you know, being the kind of person I am, I'm like, no, it's going to go this way. We're going to get our water burst and I'm going to go get the tub and we'll have it ready before you get here. And we're going to deliver in the tub. Yeah. It didn't work out that way. So, I would say definitely be open to others, you know, be open to whatever happens and just go with the flow, because I eventually had to just stop once they said, okay, we're going to get out of the pool. I just took a moment to myself and I said, okay, this is going to be what it's going to be. You know, I didn't want to deliver on my bed. I didn't want to deliver on the toilet. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to tell that story. But you know, the midwives are there to, and your doula, your whole entire birth team is there to make sure that you and baby are safe, and that they're doing the right thing for you. So listen to them and just go with the flow and don't hold on to any specific idea that you had in your mind. I know I had to let go of mine, even though I wasn't quite, you know, 100% dead set on anything. I knew there were things I didn't necessarily want, but they happened anyway. And it turned out just fine. It was fine. If I had delivered her on the toilet, it would have been what it was, as long as she came out healthy and happy. So that's definitely one of the biggest things. I have to say, do it. If you're thinking about it, just do it, because it was one of the best decisions I have ever made. And in the moment and directly after, my mom asked me, she said, so would you do this again? And I think in the moment I was like, don't ask me that right now.
Right.
I was so tired and I was more in pain from pushing and it was like a total body workout. I felt like I had whiplash for days afterwards because I was pushing so hard and I was so exhausted. I think that exhaustion was what was making me say, I don't think I'd ever do this again. But then a day or two passed and I was like, I would not trade this experience for the world. And why would I ever go to a hospital now that I've done this? You know, why would I wouldn't trade it. So I would say to anybody that's considering doing it, just do it. Just go for it. Mm. You know? So
that's amazing.
That's what I took away from it. It was a fantastic experience. you know, it was just, it was more than I could have hoped for. Mm. So
I heard two basic points that you can apply to everywhere else in your life as well. The first being kind of let go of attachments and really strong connection to expectations of things, because
sure.
things will be as they're going to be, and it's going to help you in the long run to move through an experience and for your own health and your own sanity to just kind of, you know, release and move on. And
yeah, absolutely.
That second part of listening to your intuition, you know, like you said, if you have that pull, if you have that feeling towards it, you know, explore that, listen to that, you know, inform yourself further on it, seek advice and feedback. Like those are things that anyone can take for any part of their life, but especially an experience like birth.
Yeah, definitely. And another one of the things that I had to let go of was that I had big plans to not be butt naked later. I wanted to be wearing this cute little nursing sports bra, and my pictures were going to be fantastic. I was out there, like yep. everything was out there. All of my pictures, my boobs, like right there next to the baby's face. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't want that. But you know, in the moment when it came time to get in the pool, I just said, oh my God, I just have to get out of what, get this stuff off of me.
Yeah.
You know, I just want it off of me. So that was another thing I had to let go of too. But you know, when you think about it, who's really going to see those pictures? You know, my mom saw everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and in the end, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. But I was so holding on to not being one of those, you know, butt naked, boobs flying everywhere mm-hmm. kind of people, but I was.
Yep. So
it just out that way. So. It wasn't very cute, but it was beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah. Yes, it's beautiful. I,
definitely.
Yep, all hanging. I was right there with you. I yeah. got you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Man, Christy, we have so enjoyed, more than enjoyed, like been honored to be a part of your story and how it's progressed, and to talk to you before and now after. It's so amazing, and I really. I'm excited for people to hear like both perspectives, both like packed together so closely to, it's just, it's so great. You know, you have one of the freshest perspectives possible right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm so honored that you guys, you know, wanted to chat with me and hear my story. I appreciate it.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Smother that baby in kisses. Oh, she's so
Absolutely.
Squishy. I can't wait to put those pictures up on the site. If you're listening to this right now, go to the website immediately to see pictures of the adorable little mush. So cute.
Yeah, and I'll pick out some like non-booby pictures to send you guys from the birth too. So you can kind of see those. I'll try and like edit my boobs out.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, thank you
yeah.
so much, Christy. Enjoy, and blessings and love to you and Ryan and Charlotte.
Thank you so much, guys, and same to you. I appreciate you.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.